Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show, hour number two, Hump Days with Brad. Here on the Mike Malloy Show, Mike and Kathy are off on a much-needed vacation. So it is I, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow in nothing but a good mood today because I got it all out of my system yesterday. I ranted like hell about the assault on democracy, the assault on voters, the fact that nobody knows who's winning elections because nobody bothers to count paper ballots. I got it all out of my system. Everything's fine. It's a kinder, gentler Brad. And it'll last, right? We'll see. Our phone number here, if you might like to get into the show this hour or next, is 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. You can also stop on by the chat room at bradblog.com, where you click through the first item, and you'll see everyone in there. For Earth is in there, Dwayne, Bill of Rights, Justin Time, Margot. They're all chatting along with the show. You don't want to miss it. It's like the Malloy Show Plus. So go on over there. And you can tweet me at the Brad Blog is my name on the Twitters. All right. Going to get to my guest here momentarily, but I want to sort of give you a background about what's going on here. And this is an amazing story to me that it seems that nobody actually is paying attention to, other than the Ron Paul people, to whom much of this is happening. And I was actually on the road last week, and I saw one of my relatives, and I said, you know what, you guys have no idea what's going on. He's a big Republican, by the way. And I said, you have no idea what's going on. What could happen in Tampa could be a lot less boring than you think. And here's why. And we've been covering this at bradblog.com, but there's a couple of components here. And I'm going to be joined in a few minutes here by Doug Weed, the presidential historian, the New York Times bestselling author, and a senior advisor to Ron Paul and the Ron Paul campaign. And he's going to answer all of our questions about this, and I have many of them. So let me just give you the background, because we've been covering this at Bradblog in county and state conventions all over the country. Something is going on. A couple of things are going on. But Ron Paul supporters are showing up in droves to these county conventions, these district conventions, the state Republican conventions, and they are getting their delegates elected. They're getting their delegates elected at the county convention to go to the state convention, and then at the state convention to go to the Republican National Convention in Tampa. Why? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute with Doug Weed. But on the way to that question, what's happening is rather remarkable. Several months ago now, for example, in St. Charles County, Missouri, my old home state of Missouri, the Ron Paul folks came out in droves for the caucus. In this case, it was the Missouri caucus. And they had what seemed to be a clear majority, and the establishment GOP was basically trying to ram through their own agenda against the wishes of the majority. First, they told all of the people that cameras were not allowed at what is essentially a public meeting, a public caucus. And thankfully, a couple of the Ron Paul supporters said, huh, what? No, we're not going to turn off the cameras. There was no vote on that. They needed to vote on it. They didn't. And the cameras kept rolling, and the establishment folks there tried to jam through their own chairman of this convention rather than having a proper vote. People started calling division, division, which is something in Robert's Rules of Order. It's like yelling point of order, except when you yell division, it's a non-debatable motion that is made under Robert's Rules of Order. And at that moment, if you're at a meeting, which is running by Robert's Rules of Order, and somebody yells division after a vote, then you have to stop and have a proper vote. So the chairman says, you know, all in favor, aye, hear a few ayes, all opposed, nay. And then the chairman goes, okay, the ayes have it. What? What? And so, the Ron Paul supporters are yelling, division, division. Anyway, the GOP folks who are running this this caucus eventually call the police. The police come out, they shut down the convention without electing their delegates in St. Charles County, Missouri. The Ron Paul people reconvene out in the parking lot. The police come in and arrest the leader of the Ron Paul group out there, the ones who the Ron Paul folks had wanted to become, wanted to make him the chairman. He was arrested. Why? Nobody knows. At whose orders? Nobody knows. But he was arrested. That was St. Charles County, Missouri. About a week or so before that, in Clark County, Georgia, Athens, Clark County, Georgia, we saw a similar scene at the county Republican convention. And again, it was a majority of Ron Paul folks there. And the establishment GOP stepped forward. They said, this is going to be the slate of delegates. All in favor, say aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. All right, the ayes have it. What? They start yelling division. Then the chairman says, do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting? I move to adjourn. A second. All in favor, say aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. Nay. The ayes have it. And they ended this meeting. And they put their slate that wasn't legitimately elected, their slate of delegates for, I think it was Mitt Romney down there, instead of a duly elected slate. It was unbelievable. All of this stuff has been captured on videotape. We ran some of this videotape at Brad. You can go to bradblog.com and you can see what's going on, some of this. It's remarkable. Now, we have a bit of good news coming out of Georgia, that story at Clark County, Georgia. Now, mind you, I'm not a Ron Paul supporter. I don't support any candidates. I support democracy, and I love it when people stand up for their democracy. I don't give a damn who they are. I love it when people fight like hell for their democracy, and that's what these Ron Paul folks were doing. They filed a complaint with the state party against the secretary of the Republican Party in Georgia. The secretary of state went along with the Republicans there, but they filed a complaint with the Credentials Committee, and I got good news from one of the folks down in Georgia just last week that, in fact, at the state convention, all of those delegates who were not elected correctly in Clark County, Georgia, were all thrown out. They were just thrown off the convention floor. So that's the good news there. Finally, I'll give you one more story, and then we'll go to Doug Weed to explain what the hell is going on. I think this was last week, maybe a little bit more than a week ago, down in Louisiana at the state convention down there. Once again, a huge majority for Ron Paul shows up at the state GOP convention. Just before that convention, the Republican Party announces, we've put in place temporary rules. There will not be a vote for the chairman of the convention. Well, you can't do that. You can't put in temporary rules and remove the right to vote at these conventions when they had already set the rules. So one of the Ron Paul folks said, you know, I move to elect such and such as the chairman. I can't remember who it was. A huge vote in favor of it. The establishment down there was completely ignoring it. So all of the Ron Paul people en masse picked up their chairs, turned them around, faced the back of the auditorium, and started having their own convention with their own duly elected chairman. Of course, at that point, the GOP establishment did what? They called the police, and the chairman was dragged out of the room. And it's, again, all on video. And people are yelling, hey, he's disabled. He's handicapped. And sure enough, they dragged this guy out. I think they broke his hip. That's what's going on at these GOP conventions around the country. And other than that, what's going on is Ron Paul folks are getting their people elected to party positions, and they are getting their delegates on the ballot, even in states that Mitt Romney won in the primaries. So, you know, Mitt Romney may think he won such and such a state, but Ron Paul may have more delegates elected. And in 30 of the states, if I understand this correctly, at the state national convention in Tampa later this summer, in 30 of those states, the delegates do not have to vote for the person who won their primary or caucus. They can vote for whoever they want, including Ron Paul. I think in all of the states, if Mitt Romney can't get 1144 delegates on the first ballot, then on the second ballot, everyone's up for grabs. They can vote for anyone they want. What the hell does this mean? What the hell is going to go on in Tampa this August? Nothing? What is the game here? What are the Ron Paul folks trying to do? And remember, if the GOP establishment tries to keep them from doing it in Tampa, I suspect these guys ain't going to put up with it. Because they know the rules, and they know their rights, and they're fighting for their democracy, and I love it. I love seeing it. But what are they up to? We don't know. And that, you know what, let me take a quick break here. And Doug, hang on the line. I'm sorry, I just wanted to sort of give that background before we go to you. We'll have you for the rest of the hour. Let me get to a quick break so we can go to Doug. We'll have a short segment with him, and then we'll have a long segment the whole rest of the hour. Also, our phone number, if you have a question for Doug Weed, 877-520-1150. What are these Ron Paul, what are these Romulans up to? We will find out right after this with Doug Weed. I'm Brad Friedman, in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Well, you know you make me want to shout out my head.
Say this for the Ron Paul people, they are not afraid to shout when they are being put down by the GOP establishment, as we're seeing now in county and state conventions around the country, where Ron Paul folks are standing up for themselves against the establishment and actually getting their people elected delegates, sometimes the majority of delegates in all kinds of states. And what are they up to? What is their game? We will find out in a moment. I am joined now by Doug Weed. He's a historian and a New York Times best-selling author of more than 30 books. And he has served as an advisor to two American presidents. He is now a senior advisor to the Ron Paul campaign. Doug Weed, sir, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, thanks, Brad. Great being with you.
Glad to have you here. And sorry to keep you on hold for so long. But before we get to the game as far as why... what's going on, what you guys are after. I kept you on hold so long because I wanted to explain sort of the background of what is going on at these conventions. Did I adequately explain what we're seeing now in state after state and the way that the establishment seems to be pushing back against Ron Paul supporters who are often in the majority at these state conventions?
Yep. It's like the Russo-German front in World War II. It's pretty bloody.
it literally bloody. I mean, a guy broke his hip. Didn't a fella, didn't he break a hip last week down in Louisiana as the police were dragging him out?
We elected the chairman of the Rules Committee, and they immediately arrested him after his election and hauled him off and detained him. And when he came back, his fingers had been broken.
Oh, my God. Now, this was the Louisiana State Republican Party Convention, about 10 days ago or so?
Yeah, last weekend, the one before last. And they knew they were going to be voted out of office.
Uh-huh.
So they hired off-duty policemen. They hired them to be there and then tipped them off who they wanted arrested. That's how they did it.
But the policemen had uniforms on the video that I saw, and I didn't get
that. That's right. They're allowed to wear their uniform, but you can hire policemen. You can hire them to do traffic. Churches will hire policemen to clear their parking lot and allow them to. So they're not on official duty, but they're allowed to wear their uniform, and they're hired to maintain the peace or whatever. But they take the orders from whoever's paying them the money.
And we're seeing this as a pattern, Doug Weed. I mean, it's not just in Louisiana.
Yep.
We're seeing this in a lot of places. Is the national GOP sort of working with the state groups to try to keep Ron Paul folks from having any say at these conventions? Is this a strategy?
Well, it's happening organically, and it's happening with coordination. For example, in North Dakota, which Rick Santorum won, we Ron Paul people came in second place, and both Santorum and Ron Paul defeated Mitt Romney. Romney, nevertheless, took away 60% of the delegation. The way he did it there, the team came in from Washington. They had their own parliamentarians and lawyers, but what was key is they had their own audiovisual people. So they controlled the screen and the microphones, and the Ron Paul people couldn't nominate their own delegates, where they couldn't go up to the screen and use a magic marker to write the name of their slate. So the slate was predetermined, and the Romney people were able to bag the numbers. But in many states, as you point out, they're getting beat, and they're surprised by this.
And tell me, because as I went to a break here, my engineer Tony said, "No, I can't believe it. This can't be. If Mitt Romney wins the primary in a state, then he gets the majority of the delegates. That has not been the case in a few states, has it not?"
Yeah, in many states, and
many states,
including his own state of Massachusetts. For example, 14 of the delegates from Massachusetts will be Ron Paul people, including some of his Romney's most important people didn't make it and weren't elected as delegates. But here's how it happens. The whole election cycle was gamed for Mitt Romney because he's LDS. It was arranged that the southern evangelical Christian states, which normally vote in a block, would be busted up, so they would not vote in one block. They'd vote on different dates at different times. Secondly, the vote would be proportional. So a southern state like Alabama, where you got a lot of Baptists, it's not going to all go to one candidate like Gingrich or Santorum or whoever. So Romney will get some of them. LDS states in the West and mountain states were moved up earlier than normal. They were penalized for that. They were moved up earlier. Mixed state like Florida was moved up earlier because Romney would have more cash and be able to advertise.
Doug, hold your thought there. We're going to continue this conversation after the break. We got a nice long section, and we're going to find out what the poll folks are up to. What is their game? What are they hoping for at the National Convention in Tampa? Speaking with Doug Weed, I'm Brad Friedman, in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
What's mine? And then the harder they call, the harder they'll fall, one and all.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Malloy Program. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. We're speaking with a presidential historian and presidential advisor to two American presidents, and now senior advisor to Republican Ron Paul, about what the hell is going on at these state conventions where Ron Paul folks are not only winning the majority of delegates in many states, as opposed to Mitt Romney, but also in many instances being arrested, being dragged out, having their bones broken, as the GOP establishment is trying everything they can to keep the Ron Paul folks out, the majority of folks who are showing up at these conventions, often being Ron Paul supporters, trying to exercise their democracy at these conventions, and they're facing a fight. What is that going to mean now for the Republican National Convention in Tampa? And will there be a surprise for Mitt Romney? So what is Ron Paul and his supporters up to? Before we get the answer to that question, Doug Weed, how many states now, particularly states where Mitt Romney won in the primary or the caucus, does Ron Paul now have the majority of delegates that will be going to Tampa?
There's no way we're going to announce that, but there are.
Well, isn't that public information?
No, it's not, because the delegates have not all announced publicly who they support.
And I see.
You were asking earlier how this occurred, and I was explaining that the system's kind of been gamed by the Romney campaign and people in the GOP who wanted him to win, and
right.
I explained a little bit how that worked demographically and the choice of states and the timing of the states. But in addition to that, in many states, Missouri's an example, the state rules were written, influenced by the Romney campaign, the state rules were written so that even whoever, if someone won the primary, it would be a non-binding contest, and the decision would be made at the state party convention. And they did that for Mitt Romney. They did it because Mitt Romney had money, and the feeling was if perchance he lost the Missouri election, which he did, he lost it to Rick Santorum,
right,
he could still win the Missouri at the state convention, mm-hmm, because Romney, unlike Santorum, would have the money to field the organization to get people elected. What they didn't count on and what has happened is, as Ron Paul said, on the night when the main vote took place in the national media said, Romney barely squeezed out Ron Paul and won the Maine caucus. He didn't, as Ron Paul said to the cameras and tried to explain, we didn't hide it. He said, I think we're going to pick up most of the delegates. Well, he was right. We did. So we're not flooding the state convention. So you can't, you read in the Washington Post, the Ron Paul people have flooded the state convention. You can't flood the state convention. You have to get elected at the precinct.
Right.
And then if you're a delegate elected at the precinct, you go to the district convention, and then you choose the delegates at the district convention that go to the state convention, and then at the state convention, you choose the delegates that go to Tampa. So what you're seeing now is a result of the victories we won in January and February that the national media didn't see that happened right under their eyes.
And it's still happening, it seems to me, under their eyes. They're still not covering this. You mentioned, Doug Weed, before the break, 14 delegates. You didn't mind telling me, apparently, that you have 14 delegates, at least in Massachusetts, Mitt Romney's home state. That's 14 delegates out of how many delegates in Massachusetts?
I'd have to look up the number in Massachusetts, but it's pretty sizable considering
so that's
it's his home state,
right?
And we didn't even contest it.
So there may be people who are delegates. Now, before the break, I had said that 30 different states, I believe, do not require their delegates to vote or free their delegates, even on the first ballot, to vote for whoever they want. Am I accurate in that? Did I understand that?
It's actually more than that, because and it depends. The RNC writes its own rules. It's like a private club. It's like a country club. So it's pretty tough for jurists to get involved in this and to take it to court. But the RNC, if Romney has the majority of the delegates at the RNC, he can override it, as they did the Nixon conventions when they'd have a rebellious delegation from Mississippi that was elected democratically. They would nevertheless seat their own cronies and disqualify the duly elected delegation.
How can Mitt Romney do that? And will the Ron Paul people, the supporters of Ron Paul, because I've watched these videos, they don't sit back and say, okay, yeah, whatever you want. I mean, they know the rules. They know the rules of the convention. How would Mitt Romney do that, shut out these duly elected delegates? And what would you expect that Ron Paul folks would do in the case that Romney just threw out the rules and said, forget it, we're throwing you delegates out, we're bringing in our own?
Well, that may happen. And Ron Paul himself is very much a gentleman, and he's you could see in the debates that he turns the other cheeks. He doesn't a fight. That's not in his nature. But you're right. His people are real scrappers. They feel that this country is corrupt, that the Congress is corrupt, that the executive branch is corrupt, that we have boots on the ground now in Australia defending us against China, and so we're using Chinese money to defend Australia against China. Well, obviously, Pentagon contractors making money there. It has nothing to do with foreign policy or geopolitics. So we've got well-informed people, and it remains to be seen what will happen, and the decision will really be in the Romney camp because they have the majority. If they want to fight, you're right. Our people who were duly elected are not going to let them break their bones.
is the game here, Doug Weed, to win the nomination somehow, or is this just a matter of we want to get our planks in the Republican Party platform in Tampa? What is Ron Paul going for here?
Well, under normal circumstances, the platform wouldn't matter a hill of beans. But when you have a paradigm shift, as you're having right now, I mean, this is the biggest shift that's taken place or transformation of the GOP since the 1980s. We've seen three in our lifetime, and that was the Goldwater shift that took place in 64, the rise of the evangelical Christians and their involvement in 1988. And now we're seeing, once again, the GOP transformed, this time by what you could call constitutionalists, and they're just taking over the party at the precinct level up. And so it's a real paradigm shift. So the platform committee is going to be an important battleground in this exceptional convention, and so will the rules committee. The rules committee, whoever the delegates are that get on the rules committee, they're the ones that will decide how the game is played in 2016. And it was the Romney people who stacked the rules committee the last time around that have helped him, given him an enormous advantage. Even when he was down in the polls, he was swamped by Perry, he was led by Gingrich, he was behind four or five different candidates at different points. He still won. And part of the way he won is like a football team wins, good recruitment. And that recruitment, so to speak, the game rules are decided at the RNC 4 years in advance. There's a lot to be won by the Ron Paul people playing the game.
There is, Doug, but are you prepared to say, Ron Paul, he's no spring chicken. He's very spry, but I think he's, 82 now, I think?
76.
Okay, 76. Okay, so he would be 80 in 2016. I mean, and he's very fit, 76, no question about it, but he would be 80 years old 4 years down the road. So are you suggesting he's they're just playing the long game at this point? Let me just ask you directly. Is Ron Paul still seeking the nomination, the GOP nomination for president of the United States in the 2012 election?
Well, the sun also rises, and Ron Paul has a son. He's a U.S. senator from Kentucky, and many people think he has a very good chance. And so he's been a ever-present thought in the minds of a lot of Ron Paul supporters. When they give a dime to the campaign, they know that this campaign has a future, unlike many other campaigns.
But I talk to a lot of Ron Paul people, and they say, Rand Paul is no Ron Paul. I see a real separation among the Paul supporters between Ron and Rand. They feel that Rand is more with the establishment and with the Koch brothers and that sort of group, unlike Ron Paul, as they see it, as these supporters see it. Do you not see the distinction between Ron and Rand Paul?
Yeah, I do. It's pretty hard to compare anybody to Ron Paul. I mean, he won't participate in the congressional pension because he feels it's unfair. He won't go on a congressional junket because he feels it's a free vacation at taxpayers' expense. He's never voted for a tax increase, never voted for an unbalanced budget. I mean, he's this pure figure, won't take a bribe, won't take money from lobbyists or even meet with lobbyists. It's not like there's 20 or 30 congressmen like him in the U.S. Congress. He's the only one. He is it. He's incorruptible. So he's pretty hard to compare him to anybody. But when you compare Rand Paul to to anybody else in the U.S. Senate, he's it's pretty striking. And next time, that's what the comparison will be.
Okay, well, let me take a quick break. We've got folks who may want to get into this conversation. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. I know we've got a lot of progressives out there. I know we've got a lot of progressives who don't like Ron Paul at all. And that's fine. As a matter of fact, when we come back, I'm going to hold Doug Weed's feet to the fire a little bit on Ron Paul, but I suspect he can take it. And we will also take your calls at 877-520-1150. This is a really bizarre story, and I got to say, maybe I just want this because I'm already bored with this election, and I don't want to see a boring convention in Tampa. I don't want to see a boring convention in Charlotte. I used to worry about what would happen. I don't know, worry is the word, but I was interested in what would happen with the Occupy folks at the Democratic convention in Charlotte. Now I'm starting to wonder what could happen with the Ron Paul folks at the Republican convention in Tampa. This could be a more interesting summer than I had planned. You're listening to Brad Friedman on the Mike Malloy Show. More with Doug Weed right after this. Stay with us. There you go. That's for you, Doug Weed. This is the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. Speaking with Doug Weed, historian, New York Times bestselling author, and senior advisor now to the Ron Paul campaign, trying to figure out what Ron Paul's game is. And perhaps Doug Weed gave it away. He said, oh, yes, the sun also rises. So maybe it's a long game. Maybe it's more about 216 and Rand Paul. But for now, we'll stick with Ron, and we'll figure this out, and we'll take your calls at 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. And I know that we got some folks who want to ask you a question, but Doug Weed, let me we'll just get into politics here for a moment, since we've been talking about democracy. I know that a lot of young voters out there, they hear Rand Paul talking about you know, get out of foreign wars, audit the Fed, legalize drugs. I'm sure you've had many jokes about you being a senior advisor by the name of Doug Weed for Ron Paul at this point. But there's a lot of, and those are all very appealing to progressives, you know, folks like Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul used to get together on many of those ideas. But there's a lot of ideas that he doesn't talk about that I don't think people understand. Paul, for example, would like to end federal agencies like the EPA and the SEC. He would like to mine or perhaps even sell off national parks. Would he like to sell them off or protect them? And if I'm wrong on that, please correct me on any of those points, Doug.
Well, you're wrong on the degree. For example, he doesn't want to end the Fed, even though he wrote a book, End the Fed, the title of it. But
well, yes.
As he points out, he yielded to the language of the street. He wants it to be transparent. He believes that every time they meet, we should know how much new money they created and to whom they gave it. You know, he fought his whole life to get an audit and was fiercely resisted, and finally got a partial quasi-audit for 2008, the fiscal year, and it showed that the Federal Reserve had created $16 trillion in new money electronically and had given it basically to themselves, to the board members, their banks of the Federal Reserve. Some went to McDonald's. I think McDonald's got $550 million. General Electric got $700 million. So he wants that transparent, that
right.
The entire national debt was $12 trillion, and we created $16 trillion new dollars. Where did that come from, Brad?
I hear you, and I want the oversight, and I want the transparency.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm only going to rush you a little bit now because we're coming up at to the clock. So, he did write a book called End the Fed.
Right.
But how about End the EPA? Would he like to end the EPA?
Yes. He believes that we should return to free markets, and I, Chris Matthews and I have had long conversations about that. He says, for example, hey, I don't want my meat to be contaminated.
Right.
But you have to understand your meat is contaminated right now. The system is very corrupt right now. If you open it to a free market, and I, as a free citizen, can set up my own meat inspection committee, I can promise you a quality. that will be shown and demonstrated by a free market that can beat the government.
Okay.
Right now, the cows are standing in their own manure and
right.
wastes and
but we need to but we need to improve oversight, not get rid of it. And unfortunately, we don't have enough time to talk policy. I'd love to have you back, Doug, to talk about these things. You know, I think we need an SEC. It may be doing a crappy job overseeing the financial system, but I don't know who else will do it. We need to improve it, not get rid of it, as I see it. But we don't have time for that conversation. Let me get to a quick call, if you don't mind. Chris in Chicago. I only have about a minute here, Chris. I'm sorry about that. What is your thought for Doug Weed?
Hi, Doug. I voted for Ron Paul back in 2008, and at that time, Ron Paul had told those of us that supported him to vote for any third-party candidate that was running at the time, which I did. I feel that everything that has happened this past week with Rand Paul that I'm not going to get into, I'm very disappointed. He could have waited till after the convention. But I do hope that all the delegates that will be attending in Tampa and all the Ron Paul Fest, that Ron Paul goes out and gives his total support to all the grassroots help that we have given Ron Paul over these years. I am not somebody in my 20s. I am retired. Ron Paul educated me, helped me learning everything about
Chris,
our government and the Fed, and that's what I just hope as a person. I have respect for Ron Paul, that he does support all of us, grassroots, any type of money that we could afford. We
Thanks,
all
Chris.
Send it to
Chris, I got to get out. I want to get a response from Doug. Sorry about that. Thanks for the call, Chris. Doug, so is Ron Paul going to support the Ron Paul delegates if they want to fight for him in Tampa?
Yeah, he'll stand by him and is right now, week by week, we're in the trenches. It's not over.
You know, this is a really interesting story, Doug, and boy, I could talk to you about this all night, but I hope you'll come back. I didn't mean to give you short shrift on the policy issues. Let's talk about that at a future date, a near future date, because it's a hell of an interesting story. Thank you, Doug. Check out Doug Weed at DougWeed.com for his books, his presidential historian stuff, and DougWeed.wordpress.com to find out what is going on inside these Republican parties and the Ron Paul takeover thereof. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Malloy Show. Stay with us. Much more straight ahead. And your calls.